and members of the body.
Amen.
Functioning relatively.
Amen.
Lord, anew we give our bodies.
Amen.
May we be transformed to prove.
Amen.
All that will to know that body.
Amen.
And therein to serve and move.
Amen.
Living stones were built together.
Amen.
And a house for God must be.
Amen.
As the holy priesthood serving.
Amen.
In a blessed harmony.
Amen.
Serve and work within the body.
Amen.
Independently.
Amen.
As the members of the body.
Amen.
Functioning relatively.
Our ministry and service.
Amen.
From the body, our supply. Amen. If detached and isolated, out of function, we will die.
Amen.
To the head, fast holding ever.
Amen.
We may together grow.
Amen.
From the head, supplies incoming.
Amen.
To us, through the body, flow.
Amen.
We give our body.
Right.
Amen. We transform to prove.
Amen.
All thy will to know thy body.
Amen.
And daring to serve and move.
Amen.
As the members, we have been quickened.
Amen.
Not as individuals free.
Amen.
We must always serve together.
Amen.
All related mutually.
Amen.
This by serving in the body.
Amen.
Riches of the head we share.
Amen.
This by functioning as members.
Amen.
Christ's full measure we will bear.
Amen.
Amen.
Thus we must be built together.
Amen.
Physician minister.
Amen.
For the basis of our service.
Amen.
Is the body character.
Amen.
Body, what is serve and work within the body.
Amen.
Never independently.
Amen.
Members of the body.
Amen.
Functioning relatedly.
Amen.
After the general invitation we offered last Saturday, we thought maybe we'll make ourselves available on Saturday morning because the saints were wondering how are we going to do it. So we thought, well, first we will make ourselves available on Saturday mornings. And then, during this week, some saints, some elderly sisters, brought up some issues with us, not with us, some questions about the Lord's Table meeting. And these are some questions they have brought up before, and they always urged us to share something on the Lord's Table meeting to all the saints. So this actually triggered something with us that we thought maybe this would be a good starting point, that we will have some fellowship with the ushering brothers first, particularly with regard to the Lord's Table meeting, as you will hear a little bit. You know, in the church, among the church services, there are two categories, you might say. One is directly dealing with the saints, or directly relating to the saints, and the other group is indirectly dealing with saints. Actually, all the services are with the saints. I mean, after all, the church is the gathering of the saints. Aside from that, and not only you say that it's the body of Christ and so on, yeah, of course, it's people. I mean, we are not here for anything else. We are not here serving an organization. We're here serving the saints and for the building up of the body of Christ. Of course, this is very clear. And now what I want to mention is that among the foremost of the first group, that is service dealing directly with the saints, are the ushering brothers. Okay, so I think that to start with the ushering brothers is the right point to start. Now, what I would like to call the ushering brothers is the using a more modern and we're all familiar with term, the ushering brothers are the first line, Now, I don't say responders, but you are the first line greeters to the saints, of course, but also to whoever comes to the church meetings. Now, I'm not going to analyze too much with you. You know, the two aspects of the church life and the two-wing church life we talked about, the small home meetings and the big church meetings. And actually, the ushering brothers' service is not so much related to the small home meetings, small group meetings, but mostly related to the open big church meetings, particularly on the Lord's Day. Okay, and because this is necessarily so, because for the church meetings, Lord's Day, we have the biggest attendance. It's simply because people are not working, it's much easier for them to come, and the children are not going to school, so they bring the children to the children's meetings, and so on. And so it is a family time that the whole family can come, and so the rest of the week, the meetings are more limited in number because people work, and at night children have to, the parents, one of them have to stay with children and so on. So therefore, the attendance is, of course, less. So therefore, really we often say that the most important church meeting is the Lord's table meeting, but because that's the first meeting on the Lord's Day morning. And the first line greeters are the ushers. Okay? And now, what I want to tell you is what I was thinking about this. This is really very important because the first impression is often the lasting impression. The first, I didn't say last. Please notice what I said. I'm using it carefully. The first impression is often the lasting impression, which lasts, okay? And it is lasting impression because it is the impression by example. Because what happened is that you actually represent the church. Because when they come to the church meeting hall, they are not just concerned about the outside. It should be adequate, decent and so on. But once they come in, what they touch is the atmosphere. What would touch them is the place and the atmosphere and the first line greeters. Okay? And that impression is the lasting impression. It is the impression by example. Okay? So therefore, it is very important. Okay? Now, I don't think that I need to tell you. But the point is this. The point is that I don't want to tell you, if you are serving as an usher, how you should do it. But I would like to convey this to you why. Okay? Because you represent the church. And the impression is lasting. And it's very difficult to change a first impression. Once they have such an impression, this place is like this, whether they continue to come or not, it's very much governed by this first impression. Okay, so this is really foremost. I mentioned this is foremost. But you will also see that but our service is not just to the new believers. Our service is to all the saints. On the one hand, we must give the proper representation of what church stands for. I mean, that's important. But on the other hand, we also must be very careful. We must be concerned about the conscience of the saints. Now, I use this point is because I'm going to talk about the Lord's Table meeting. Okay, and I think it is so very important that maybe, when we were younger, we all sort of served ushering in some capacity to greet the people when we have a much smaller group. But what I want to tell you is that what I mentioned, that the foremost among those who serve directly dealing with people are the ushers, and also the foremost, the most important meeting is the Lord's Table meeting. Now, the Lord's Table meeting is important. It's because it is the Lord's, we are following the Lord's command. Yeah. when the Lord, before he went to the cross, he set up the Lord's table. And, you know, this is too much to say, but, you know, it is not so easy. I mean, it's much easier to, in this kind of a group, we can talk to you, and if we have any question, we have some kind of a give and take, and so on. If in a large meeting on a Sunday morning setting, or even in a conference, I think it's quite difficult to say. But I want to tell you, you know, many things actually you've heard before, but I'm just going to remind you a little bit. And that is, we always say when the Lord set up the table, he actually, that setting up of the table is the turning from the Old Testament into the New Testament, because it was at the Passover feast that the Lord set up the Lord's table, right? And so, but the important thing is, I'm not going to say too much about that, but what I want you to see is that the Lord's table is the Lord's command that we must do so. And if we look at the book of Acts, in the early days, when they practiced church life, they actually break of bread from house to house, day by day. They actually do that every day. But of course, later on, this becomes not so practical. You want to go from house to house to break the bread because the people number increase and so on. So therefore, there is the larger meeting. So therefore, the larger meeting, as I mentioned earlier, because of the practical reasons, the kind of life that people live, the believers live, so therefore they remember the Lord on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week. This is also the day on the Lord's resurrection. Of course, that has other significance and so on. And so that's sort of by the early days of the church, you can see the Lord's table meeting becomes kind of on the Lord's Day and practices. But very soon the enemy came in to damage this. So when Paul wrote the 1 Corinthians, you can see even at the church in Corinth, that is after Paul heard the Macedonian call, went over first to Philippi and to Thessalonica, then went to Corinth. And there he spent actually a year and a half, and you know, the church there established. And then after he left, you know, the practice get, you know, there are other things that came in. And so therefore Paul had to write about 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Clearly, he first mentioned about the matter of the fellowship, because some of them is still having fellowship with the demons. And so Paul mentioned to them, if you have the fellowship on the Lord's table, you cannot. It is not compatible. It is they are mutually exclusive to have fellowship with the demons. And then he brings out about the Lord's Supper in chapter 11. I mean, this we have said before, but I'm just pointing this out to you a little bit. So anyway, because of this, the saints in the past, they do have such a background and history. But what I think that what is lacking, maybe we have not never brought this point up very much, but I think today is a good time to bring up with you brothers here. We have to see the development in the church history, how this practice of the Lord's table. Now, I haven't done a research to follow that very clearly, but just from what we heard and observing some of the practices today, I think this general trend is correct. That is, because of I think first in the Catholic Church and then in the Protestants, they do not practice remembering the Lord every week. Okay, only on special occasions. And not only that, they also have developed in such, now this is a very important point. I hope you brothers pay attention to me to say this. This is very important because it become a very systematized, ritualistic practice. Okay, the Lord's table become ritualistic and systematized. And they developed this doctrine of transubstantiation. Okay, this transubstantiation, simply put, is that when, well, of course, they have to prepare the bread and the cup. Then when they do this, the priest in the Catholic Church, they bless the bread and the cup. And according to the doctrine they developed, at that moment, when it's blessed, this physical wafer, now I use the word wafer because I think they are probably leavened, okay? And the cup, they usually use wine, literally turns into the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, okay? And so therefore, now this is very important because I want to tell you, this still has some left effect with us today. Because once they become that, then they, they have to examine themselves and so on. Then they come, then they feed them with these wafers. I don't want to mock them, but anyway, so they only give the celebrant, I mean those participants, the bread. It's the celebrant, the priest who prays, drinks the cup. Okay, actually, this is actually somewhat deviated from the Lord's command. Okay, but anyway, it is this transubstantiation left a very profound effect on people because they think this is something holy. You know, you have to handle it very, very carefully. Actually, because of this, it becomes, as I said earlier, ritualistic. Approximately, okay? Now, I'm not going to give you the dates and so on. But what happened is that the Lord's tables actually recovered by the brethren, okay? And the brethren, particularly the exclusive brethren, they realized the significance of the Lord's table, and they're the ones that realized, because it was from the Passover feast to the Lord's table, so therefore the bread should be unleavened because of the Passover time, okay? And of course, this is true because Paul even mentioned in 1 Corinthians 5. Yeah. So therefore, the bread should be unleavened and the wine, and they are very, very particular because this is only for the Lord's people. In other words, those who believe in the Lord Jesus. I mean, this actually, I think, is the emphasis of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, talking about the fellowship. Okay, it is mutually exclusive from anybody who have anything to do with the demon. So, and then, of course, 11, Paul talked about one must examine oneself. So it's the emphasis of the point that one should not participate in any other way, but no one else except those believers should be allowed to participate. And that in itself is very good, and it's very strict. It is very strict to such an extent they have to examine each, question them very carefully, see whether they are saved, they are believing the Lord, and then they ask them to wear a certain name tag to be allowed into the... I mean, in those days, let me tell you, with the ushering brother, during their Lord's table meeting, the ushers there, they only recognize the tape. They don't recognize the people. Okay? Somebody may be coming to them many, many years. If they forgot to bring this name tag, they are not allowed to the Lord's table. Okay? That's their practice. But of course, we held, I must tell you, we held the principle of the significance and the seriousness, and we held with reverence when we come to the Lord's table meeting. Some of the practices, I think, we are not carrying the name tag and so on, but we hope that the saints will all examine themselves and so on. Right. Now, that, of course, is actually, over the years, I must tell you, we have gone through many years, and including the 70s, when I talk about the growing pain. Let me give you some example. During that time, there's a strong anti-tradition atmosphere. Even that crept into the church life. And, in other places, they mocked the Lord's table, and even some attempts were made here. I must tell you, that's one of the things that we held very strongly, that we do not allow such frivolous, light attitude to come in. Okay, but the point is that the reason we have it on the Lord's Day morning. In fact, in the past, when you have such a meeting, usually, this is actually exclusive brethren's practice, they usually have it on the Lord's Day evening, so they can keep the door very strict. They have the door watchers to see whether you have carried your name tag or not. If you don't have a name tag, you cannot come in. But, you know, the reason that we have it, actually at some time we have practiced on Friday night, Lord's Day evening, but we feel for the sake of the saints, those family who can come, both, because we consider this the most important meeting in the church. And so therefore, we have to have it, open it to as many saints as possible. You see, it's very important. Let me explain to you a little bit about even the schedule. We felt it was necessary to have it on the Lord's Day morning, because on the Lord's Day morning, when the parents bring their children to the Lord's table meeting, and children can go to the children's meeting at the same time, both parents could be at the Lord's table meeting.
Yes.
And therefore, and the children, you know, there are some places, you know, if the parents bring the children to the Lord's table meeting, they say, what is that? I want to have a piece. No, you cannot do that. So therefore, to have it at the Lord's table, Lord's Day morning with the children's meeting, this also makes the the ushering job much easier. Do you understand my point? Okay, and actually we have done so, and over the years, there were some other effects some other practices. For example, the brethren, they always insisted to use wine. Okay, among us, there were some who were very strongly influenced by that, so they insisted. Some sisters, in fact, insisted that the church should always use wine, and so on. And but the point is that This has some practical problems, because actually, according to the word, it is a fruit of the vine, fruit of the grape. So grape juice is a fruit of the juice. So, but anyway, it is. There are certain things. Now, what I want to point out to you, certain traditional things, it's not necessary to keep, because it may have some bad effect. Because when we were using wine. Let me tell you, it is very important, because how do you deal with the extra when you pour it out? Well, once you pour it out, you cannot pour it back to the... So there were some who actually would like to take a big gulp because sort of satisfied their... Okay? I mean, you know, there are these problems. Do you realize that? And actually once there was somebody who even gave a testimony and said, oh, you know, on the Lord's table, I just took a big drink of it, because at that time we were using one cup, okay? I took a big drink and I got so, you know, so on. I mean, so can you imagine that? This is what Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians. Don't think it was a joke. It is some get drunk, right? So you realize, now brothers, you realize the practice is not that simple. In truth, we must, you know, we do not believe in transubstantiation. But on the other hand, we also have to be considered that the significance of these symbols. Okay, now with the effect of the 1970s, it becomes the influence really was very bad. And then later on, you know, we went from the one cup to the small cups. It's because of the problems of various kinds, hepatitis, AIDS, and so on. Okay? It is for the sake, because some saints would not take the cup when we have one cup. Do you understand my point? My burden is that I want to share with you that you don't know how much we have considered concerning the saints.
Right.
And of course, those who are not believers, they should not participate. But even many who, for various reasons, they do not participate or partake of the table, of the cup, and of the bread. And that is a great loss. It is a great loss to them. Okay? And because of that, we rely on the first line greeters. Okay? Do you understand my point? Okay. So, therefore, how you conduct yourself really is not only concerned by the saints, for the new ones, but also concerned about the other saints, concerned about their conscience. Now, I know many saints, some of the older ones, they were brought up from this traditional name tag and very strict. I want you to know, we have never loosened our standard. We never say those who have not believed in and so on, they can participate. And yet, you know, we are not keeping it as a ritual, but we do so with such reverence in remembering the Lord. Okay, and that rely very much on you brothers who are the ushers. Okay, now, the first day, many saints very often mentioned, you know, because their eyes are on the ushering brothers. Okay, now I must tell you, the eyes are on the ushering brother, and many complaints come to us, even this past week. Okay, and the reason is that, we are not, you know, we are not just listening to their complaint. We want to see where it's coming from, and we want to help them. And also, because the saints are still concerned because of the, over the years that there's so many new ones come in, and because it's open, and so when the saints come in, if there's somebody who is new, we don't recognize, a stranger. Okay, if a visitor or a stranger comes unaccompanied, in other words, they are by themselves. Okay. Now, of course, this we rely on. I mean, we also observe. We also sit there and we do see it, but we don't interfere with what you brothers are serving, and it relies on your knowledge and familiarity with the saints.
Right.
Because if you, maybe because your contact with people are more, and so you know them, because you are the first line greeters, and so you know them. I mean, this is, and when they come in, you should ask them, is this first time, are you a Christian, and so on and so forth. So it is very important. But so some of the saints may not know this, and they saw this a stranger. And then they are watching where they are passing, when the plate is being passed on. So they want to see whether they are. And I think this responsibility lie primarily on the saints who bring them. Okay, I mean, should explain it to them.
Right.
Or the ushering, when you come in and greet them. And, sometimes just give them a hymn book and ask them whether this is the first time, whether they are a believer or not, But doing it in a nice way, okay, because the first impression is the lasting impression. You want to say, don't go to questioning them, examining them carefully. We must do things so. Let me put it in this way. Over the years, we have watched this. The ushering brothers, of course, should be warm, should be friendly, but should and should in a non-conspicuous way. Okay, non-conspicuous is because, for the sake of the meeting, for the sake of the other saints, you don't want to question this. Not only sometimes you don't want to embarrass this visitor, but also you don't want to disturb those who sit next to them. Okay, this inconspicuously is a very important character of serving the ushering brother, because sometimes, unnecessarily cause a lot of commotion. That is not good. That is not good. Sometimes do more damage to the meeting. Okay, so therefore, firstly, if somebody is a visitor or because this is the Lord's table, this is not a friendly get-together. This is not hometown, what you call town hall meeting. This is the Lord's table. And we do not treat anything lightly, even though we welcome others who belong to the Lord. We don't question how long have you been here, and so on. So long as somebody who believes in the Lord Jesus is a born again, has a born again Christian experience, even if they are sprinkled, it's okay. Okay, because I must see that is where were you baptized. We are not like some places you have to be baptized in our water before you are received. Do you understand my point? This actually is very important. Then once they are here, then of course therefore, because it is an impression by example. So if you are, if you prepared yourself, if you are happy in the Lord because your sins have been forgiven and your relationship with the Lord is clear, and you are, this will come out in your expression, in your greeting them,
right,
and would encourage them. Even if they are not a believer, they would be attracted by it, okay? And then, of course, during the Lord's table, you see, I said this earlier, because we do not believe in transubstantiation, but we do respect and we do recognize the significance of these symbols. They are not a light matter. So therefore, we handle it with care. Now, let me tell you, actually, we want to have some fellowship with the bread preparation service group, mostly sisters, because you don't know how many of these sisters, how much they prayed. And that is why I recently encouraged the brothers come together to pray, because the sisters pray a lot when they prepare the bread. Let me say this, they prepare the bread, they usually make two, because they don't want to bake it and cracked. Now, you know, you say, well, crack doesn't matter. What's the difference? No, no. Their attitude is because this is for the Lord's table. They pray the Lord would give them grace to make it properly. And you know, I mean, you brothers who break the bread, we have done this, so we know. If the bread is not made right, you can't break it right. And, you know, and it sticks in your people's teeth and so on. Yeah. I mean, they have to make it crisp and crunchy, I mean, but easy to break, and yet without cracks. So they always make two, and they never use the old ones. I mean, you must see, these are really important. Say, hey, what's the difference? You know, last week it's okay. It's only used, you know, in real rare exceptions. Of course, we have to use, yes, I think it is significant because it should be unleavened. It should be unleavened. We shouldn't just go buy a loaf of bread and just break the bread. No, no, this is not right. You know, this is not the question. This is our attitude. Our attitude. So the sisters are very careful. Okay, not only that, because they want to make fresh, they get up early, they pray on each other, pray together, then they make the bread. Then they always rush to come here. They don't want to. They want to bring the freshly baked ones. I hope you brothers appreciate what the sisters done. And I know there were times when they couldn't, because it was late, they would call a taxi to come so they can deliver it on time. Now, this, I think this kind of attitude really shows. And you brothers know sometimes you have to wait a little bit because they haven't been here 9:45 or something. But sisters are usually quite faithful in doing that. And we want them to pass this on to the younger generation. Don't say, well, see, why the trouble? Let's just go buy some matzo. Matzo only is used, you know, the Jewish unleavened bread. That's only used for special times. The sisters don't do that, okay? So therefore, they're very careful about how you handle it. Don't think the saints' eyes are very clear, because oftentimes they come to us. They, for example, now, because we don't use the big cup, okay? Because of the situation, we don't want many people refrain from taking the cup. The point is, we want them to participate, and you know how we explain to the saints, even though we may, you know, we actually pour out from this one source into the cups, and so the saints can take it with clear conscience, with peaceful conscience. And that's very important. Our service to the saints must not trouble people's conscience. Okay, now, because I mentioned this, is this related to some of the practice? The, for example, say you fill the cup, don't fill it so full, because if it spills, oh, you know, to some saints this is really, maybe they should not consider it sacrilegious, but the point is that it does trouble people's conscience. We must see this, okay? And because people think, even though this is a symbol, even though this is a symbol of the Lord's blood, you cannot just spill it, okay? So when you fill it, brothers, don't fill it so full. Because if you fill, you know, it's easy when you shake a little, it spill over. And when you cover it with paper and, you know, it's soaked up and so on. And then afterwards, oh, this is a big thing. Let me tell you, I don't know whether Max, some of the saints have come to you. the sisters are watching what you do with the remain. Okay? And in the past, I know in the Far East, they are very strict. They don't let children come near. Some of the saints, oh, it's okay, it's a little boy, he's hungry, give him some crumbs. No, you cannot give it to the children, to the sisters, because to them, even though I think this is still somewhat this transubstantiation idea, but we should not treat it lightly, because what I'm telling you is not, these are the rules you cannot violate. No, that's not my point. I think we must be concerned about people's conscience. Okay? So therefore, when we handle it with care. When we pass it, we pass it carefully. For example, one day, some saints came to me. You don't realize how much they come to us about the Lord's table. One day they came to us, say, do you know there was one brother who actually passed the cup first before the plate? Okay, that was something, I mean, we didn't go to scold that brother. We just tell them, well, sometimes the ushering brothers may remind these new ones because some of them are new and so on. Do you understand my point? We are not here telling you the rules about practice, about the Lord's table, but I mentioned to you because the saints' conscience are troubled. When their conscience are troubled, sometimes they would not participate the Lord's table. And, we should, and we hope you brothers would come and tell us if you saw certain ones that are really, then if they have any problem, maybe we will have some fellowship with them, what is really troubling them. Because we don't want anybody miss out. Now, another thing, a sister was very troubled, often come to us, to say that, that one was not a believer, or that one we know has some sin, and so partake of the Lord's table. So we have to tell them that actually, if anybody who is not worthy of the Lord's table, this is what Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they are eating and drinking to their own judgment. We say it is not, and we should be concerned for their own good well-being. If they eat and drink unworthily, they are eating and drinking to their own judgment, they are not going to touch the table. They are saying, this defies the Lord's table. No. The Lord's table cannot be defiled by that. But they will do so to their own judgment. Do you understand my point? So even afterwards, you see, how you handle that, do it. Don't just say, well, the plate is here. Into the waste paper bag. If any saints should see it, this is going to trouble their conscience to no end. And then you know what? Now let me tell you what. Then you know what? They will come and tell us, I saw so-and-so serving the Lord's table doing it this way. Don't let them do it again. Don't let them serve again. Do you understand my point? I mean, to us, the worthiness is not by... But sometimes, brothers, have to be... it's not because you violated something, but because you troubled their conscience. Okay? And also the drinking of the remaining cup. I mean, even after we have gone to the smaller cup, we've gone to the orange juice, still, before, because of the wine, take a big gulp. And of course, you cannot say who want to drink it, and there are those who might trigger something with them. So, do you follow my point? But the thing is that because you are the first liners. Okay. Therefore, it's important. Because you're the ones that directly have contact. And I know that you brothers like to encourage some of the new ones to serve, which is good. But you have to, not just to teach them how, but you have to explain to them why. Okay? It's a little bit. At least, to tell them to be conscious of the not only the well-being of the new ones, because that will have very much to do whether they will be able to come in, come to know the Lord and come into the church life, but also for many older saints, their conscience will not be offended or troubled, because after all, if anyone because of the stumbling, this is actually kind of a stumbling, if the stumbling of the service of anyone, then I think it is really too bad. Because the one service not only was not benefiting other people, but stumbled others. Okay, so we thought this is a good opportunity for, and we hope many more saints, brothers or sisters. You know, people sometimes say sisters can serve and so on. I don't think that's too much is an issue we want to discuss now, because I think some of the sisters should participate, enter into more to help preparing the Lord's table, because the older generation is passing on. It's not only us, but also the others who have served many, many years. You know, Sister Ruth Guo, when we started the meeting in Manhattan 13 years ago, she was so burdened to go there every week because she wanted to teach the younger ones how to make the Lord's table bread. Okay, and I think now she also, I don't know who is doing this in Flushing. I mean in Brooklyn, but Flushing there are a number of older sisters who are doing that. So I think that this is an aspect which I think is very important, because it really is the foremost service to the directly contacting the people. Okay, so I thought maybe I share this much, and the other meeting's principle is similar, but of course in the Lord's Table meeting there is something specific. But as ushering brothers, you need to be more alert. And mainly is to be concerned about the receiving of blessing and grace for the saints through these meetings. And so in a way, you serve as ushering brothers, you sort of sacrifice yourself for your own benefit, and to be concerned of the benefit for the larger one, for all the saints. So I hope that, as you go on, since we will be meeting in different meetings, and hopefully the Lord will give us more meeting halls, and more saints will come in to serve, to be the first line greeters, and to usher people. You know, sometimes we say the ushers should usher them into their spirit. But in a way, it is true. It is by your example. So when somebody comes, and I know we have heard a number of testimonies, how people were touched the first time, and by just the one who greeted them. And they were not so much touched by the message they heard that day, but it is just a general welcome, that atmosphere of warmth and openness, and the welcoming them, and actually made them stay. Okay, so I think this is very important for the going on of the church. But anyway, I think even Brother Ed or Brother Benjamin, they also have some personal experience about this. We all did. So I thought this is a good opportunity to fellowship with you. And then, and I hope that this time after the brothers, if you have any questions, so you can bring up.
I believe that in the past, many saints have a very wrong impression. That is, if a brother could not do this, could not do that, could not do anything, let's ask him to be an usher. Did you have this kind of, in the past, many people had this kind of wrong concept. But actually, I would say, the ushering service is one of the very, very important service. Just like Brother James mentioned earlier, you realize all the ushers, they represent the church. Because when people come in, especially the new ones, the young ones come in, their first, the ones that they will meet first is the ushers. And what kind of attitude you have that represent what kind of church we have. And so in the past, many ushers just standing there and don't do anything, just standing there. And then when people come in, they just like, what? Huh? they never say hello or very cold. Then right away they think, oh, this church is a very cold church. Now if someone is very warm, and then they will feel, oh, this church is very warm, then they will come. And in the past there was a sister, eventually she was one of the sisters even serving ones in the church, but that is many years ago. Then she said to me, the first time she came to the meeting here, after the meeting, no one talked to her, no one say hello to her. She just stood there for a long time, and then she left. She said, oh, this church is so cold. So she did not come back to the church life, and to the church. And then, so after 10 months, by the Lord's mercy, the Lord raised some kind of environment, put her in a difficult situation, then she come back to the Lord. But then after that, she told me that she could be in the church 10 months earlier, but she came to the church 10 months later. It's because nobody say hello to her. And so don't take this thing in a light way. And so then in one sense, I would say all of us, we all should be ushers. And yes. Last night, I was in the Chinese-speaking side. And so I share with the Chinese-speaking saints. I told them we will have a gathering this morning. And so I told them, because I knew that many of them would not be here. I said, we have to see that all of us really should be ushers. Amen. Because we represent the church. I just took an example. Before I was married, I stayed with Brother Gruler Sr. He was not an usher. But every Lord's Day morning, his wife, a sister, she always either cook something. And so when this brother, after the meeting, the Lord's Day morning meeting, he had the eyes to see who are the first timer, who are the strangers. He will go to that person. Don't always go to your friends after the Lord's Day morning meeting. He always went to this new ones, this strangers, and talk to them and invite them to his home. And so he's the typical usher, even though he was not in the ushering service. So all of us, whether you're serving in this service or you're not serving in this service, we all should have this kind of realization that how important our attitude is affect the friends or the other new ones, what is their impression concerning the church. So I want to present this thing. Now second, I want to say, especially concerning the Lord's Table meeting. Now Lord's Table meeting is a very serious meeting. And now the Lord's Table meeting is too important, I would say, that in the United States, everybody is very busy. Therefore, they have no time to care for their father. They have no time to care for their mother, but just try to have their conscience be in peace. So once a year you have a Mother's Day, once a year you have a Father's Day to appease their conscience. And then we try to do the same thing to the Lord, right? So we have Christmas. Why we don't celebrate Christmas? Now, first of all, we know the Lord was not born on the December 25th. And then, not only that, and he was not born in winter time, because in the book of Luke, it's clear. The night Jesus was born, and then the angels appear to the shepherds in the wilderness. No shepherd will bring their sheep in the wilderness in winter time. So you know, the Lord Jesus was not born in the winter time. But then people said, the Lord had to have a birthday, right? But yeah, of course he was born as a man. So of course he had a birthday. But the Bible didn't tell us what is the Lord's birthday. Why? He did not want us to remember him once a year. He wants to what? He wants us to remember him every week. So this Sunday, it's not Sunday, it's the Lord's Day. We all need to realize this. And so that's why we have to see the importance of the Lord's Table meeting. And then when we were young, we tried to right away, even when I was in, just in high school and was put in service to serve the young ones, the elementary school students, and then actually like Timothy Zhang Tianying, he was my student. Actually, I was only 3 years older than him. But just because I was in high school, he was in elementary school, so I was his teacher. But then, when the church in Taipei put me on the service to serve these elementary school students, they did not give us many high teachings, but only gave us two principles. The first, none of us are worthy to serve the Lord. Don't think, oh, I'm so-and-so. I come to serve. Oh, you should see. As if we ask them glory to the church. No, no. All of us are not worthy to serve. It is God's mercy. God's His mercy and allow us to serve Him. We all should have this kind of attitude. So don't think, especially someone who got a PhD, and then he said, then I, you know, as a PhD, I come to serve. You see, they give you some more glory. No, that kind of attitude is shameful. And also someone, one sister in the, also when she was in the school, they have students, they have some something they compete, and she got number one. And when she came to serve, she right away she said, you know, I got number one, and so you should let me to play the piano. I don't say that, don't think. And amazing, when she played those Beethoven and all the other music, she got number one. But when she served, I don't know why, she was trembling. And the whole meeting was spoiled because she really could not type the hymns. And so don't think that we are giving the Lord any glory. It is the Lord's mercy allow us to serve Him, to serve God, the creator of the universe. It is how glorious thing it is that the Lord had given to us. So we are not worthy. Because of this, then we have a habit. That is, every time when we come to serve, especially when, even if you are not serving, but for when we come to the Lord's table meeting, we should have an attitude. This is the Lord's table. Not your table, not my table. It's the Lord's table. He is the host of this meeting. And so then the Lord is the host. We are not the host. So the first thing we have to do before we come to the Lord's table meeting, in other words, Lord's Day morning or Sunday morning, you don't catch up on your sleep. You should go to bed earlier, Saturday night. So on the Lord's Day, when you wake up, the first thing you have to do, you need to pray before the Lord. Ask the Lord to shine His light upon us. Did we offend the Lord, or offend the God, or the God the Father, or offend people? Then, according to the Lord's shining, we should specifically, thoroughly confess our personal sins. We encourage people to have the morning revival. That is true. And many people, in many saints, they use telephone or to have the morning revival. And some also had the group morning revival. That is not bad. That is okay. Because at least you have the morning watch or morning revival. And then if we don't have this very often, we think we only miss two morning. I did not have morning revival. Actually, you already missed 2 weeks the morning revival. And if you have the corporate morning revival, it's good in order for you to have this habit of morning revival. But just the corporate morning revival is not good enough. We all need to have the personal morning revival. We have an intimate fellowship, personal fellowship with the Lord Himself. And we can pray with some verses, we can use some verses to pray and ask the Lord to shine His light upon us, whether anything that we offend Him or offend the people, then we have to confess our sins specifically. In the corporate meeting, we should not confess our sins specifically, because Satan will use the word to accuse you and even to trouble other saints. So the personal, specific, and thorough confession of sins should be personal with the Lord. Well, I want to say this. Lately, I received a long letter from a brother. Of course, I will not mention the name of this brother. And this long thing, very thick, and doing what? He listed seven his sins. He just happened. He probably thought we were like Catholic fathers. And so he said one by one, he did this, he offended God, and he committed this sin, and he wanted to confess to me. So I did not have chance to talk to him. I would tell him, I'm not the Catholic Church father. No. The Catholic Church practiced this. They encouraged their member to confess their sins to their quote-unquote fathers. Right? And that's terrible. The Bible never allowed us to do this. If you confess, if you offend God, you confess your sin to God. If you offend certain one, you can confess to this, apologize to this person. You should not openly to say in the corporate meetings. And so the personal confessing of sins is very important. If we do this, then we spontaneously will be very happy. You will have a peaceful conscience. So when you come to the meeting, and you will come with a happy spirit, a strong spirit, and this will help the Lord's table meeting very much. And because this is altogether a matter of spirit, and therefore, first of all, we have to practice in this way. So every time before we serve, we have attitude. I'm not worthy, praise your mercy, that I can have the opportunity to serve you. And then, as a servant to serve God, and then we'll have to see whether we offend Him in any way, then we confess our sins to the Lord, not to other people. But then, so this is the first thing we have to do. Believe me, if all of us serving ones, ushers here, before you come to serve, you pray and pray to the Lord. And with this kind of attitude, the Lord's table meeting will be continuously changed to a positive way. And now, this is the first thing I want to mention to all of you. I myself also, I started this when I was in high school. Even today, every Lord's Day morning, I still feel I have to go to the Lord and ask the Lord to shine His light upon me. So Brother Lee mentioned very often, you know, before he went to be with the Lord, he emphasized what? We should be vital, right? And vital group and vital this, vital that. But then he also said, no one can be vital with a guilty conscience. And this is we should all be very clear. If we really want to be vital, we have to have good conscience. And so this is one thing. Now, then the other thing I want to say is, now, because this meeting is the Lord's table, and He is the Lord, He is the one in charge of this meeting, and therefore, we have to be very careful, and we all should try to use our spirit to contact the Lord Jesus. So that's why a few months ago, I encouraged the saints to memorize this verse, that is John chapter 4, verse 24. You still remember what is that verse? God is spirit, and those who worship spirit must worship in spirit and truthfulness. Right, very good. So this verse is equally important as Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 is the foundation of everything. Whatever we talk, even when we talk about ushering service, the foundation is still Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. But anyway, we have to be very clear that the Lord is the Lord. Therefore, when we come to this meeting, we should use our human spirit, try to sense what is the Lord's burden for that particular Lord's Day meeting. And in our hymnals, every hymn is good. Brother Lee chose among more than 10,000 hymns and pick out all these ones in our hymnal. So all the hymns are good hymns, but we have to sense in that particular morning, in the Lord's table meeting, what is the thing the Lord wants us to remember? Our Lord's too rich. He has all kinds of things that we can remember. It's not every time we only remember His blood. He's our King, He's this, He's that. He's so many things. At different times, the Lord may ask us to remember His certain aspect. And so then that's why we all have to exercise our spirit. And then, based on that, we can call some hymns. And again, all the hymns are good, but I think all we three brothers have this kind of impression, and the certain ones always call the hymn that he likes. Every time, regardless whether the Lord wants us to remember His blood, or remember His name, or remember His person, and so certain brothers and sisters, and they often, sometimes I could guess what hymn he will call, because he always called that particular, that's his favorite. You cannot do this in the Lord's table meeting. And another thing I think is very bad, that is, then one person call a hymn. Afterwards, he said, let's sing that again. Don't ever do this. I will say this, at least in this room, that no one who has called a hymn has the privilege to say that let's sing it again. Sometimes when he called a hymn and people did not respond because that is not the burden, that is not the flow that morning. And so then people don't enjoy this. Maybe people don't sing in a lively way. That is, he should realize why people did not respond to this hymn. It's because he did not call the right hymn at that time. He was not in the same flow. But so he already, when he called the wrong hymn, he already brought some kind of death into the meeting, not the life to the meeting. When you say, let's sing that again, then you kill the meeting completely. So if this meeting really is good and the people enjoy it, let other people to say, let's sing that again. That's okay. But don't, the one who called that hymn should not just repeat again. So you will kill the meeting right away. So these things we should be very careful. But then, not only this, we need to, all serving ones, especially your ushering brothers, we need to get familiar with many, many hymns. Again, I want to repeat, all the hymns are good, but not the same. And certain hymns, it's okay, it's in a low level, and profound. But certain other hymns are very strong, and so you need to sing at the time when the spirit of the meeting has reached that level. Then you should call that kind of stronger and hymns. And then, so sometimes, just at the very beginning, and he, like 124, it is a very good hymn, but it's not suitable for the beginning of the meeting. But when the spirit of the meeting has reached that level, then you will call that hymn. So we have to be familiar with all the hymns. What time is suitable for what kind of hymns? So all these things, we all need to be equipped. We need to learn these things. So in order for the whole church to have a much better, much higher the Lord's Table meeting, I think we need to start from all the ushering brothers, that you need to know all these things and to practice and to then to help all the saints. And also in your district, we may not have the time to go to say this in each district, but then you need to bring these things into each district, and so that all the churches, the whole church, regardless what district you are in, we can have a high Lord's Table meeting. And so don't despise this. It's something very important. Many people come to the Lord's, continue to come to the Lord's, it's because we have the strong, the Lord's Table meeting. And therefore, and so I just say this much, and then if you have any question, and there's also Brother Ed has something I want to share with you.
I also would mention two sides. First of all, that the ushering brothers are the first contact of the new ones with the church. And I can give my testimony. I left the denomination with four other families. We met together for 1 year because we had heard the church in New York City teaches heresy. Eventually, the Lord broke up the five couples. And eventually, one day, the Lord told me, you go this time. And the Lord was gracious. He provided a ride. We didn't have a car. So we came here. And of course, it was just a tiny little room, not this big hall. I walked in the door. There was one tall brother in the back. As I walked inside, he walked towards the door, and the way he greeted me, I will never forget. In fact, after some time, he moved away. I have no idea where he is, but I'll never forget John DeVries. He was so warm. Then, at the end of the meeting, Brother DeVries Sr. came to us and said, I want to invite you to my home next Lord's Day after the meeting. So sure enough, we went there. When we're leaving, here's a hymn book. Not the cheap hymn book just with letters, but the real hymn book with the music. But although these two aspects, these two points, these two experiences were so positive, I was captured by the Lord's table. You may say, well, why are you captured by the Lord's table? I mean, what's the big deal? Where I was the Christian Missionary Alliance. It's a denomination that's better. We did have the Lord's table every Lord's Day. Okay? How did we have the Lord's table? They distribute the bread and then the little cup, and we held the little cup. Then the pastor prayed and we drank the cup. End of story. When I came here and the saints were jumping up like popcorn, praying and praising the Lord, I said, this is it. I never leave this place. So it is important, the Lord's table. As the brothers have mentioned, of course, we all should examine ourselves before we come here. If there is anything we need to confess, we should do it so that we have a clear conscience. Well, it's a little difficult to say too much about the Spirit leading in the Lord's table, but, well, wait a minute. Before anything else, who invites to the Lord's table? We don't. The Lord invites. Not only the Lord invites, the Lord commands that we have the Lord's table. Therefore, my practice is, if I am asking for a hymn, I get the hymn, Lord, what do you think? Is this okay? The Lord says no, or somebody else calls another hymn, then that's it. Because really the Holy Spirit is the one that should lead the Lord's table. And if he is able to do it, it's a different Lord's table altogether. Big difference. The Lord's table is in the third heavens. So it is so important for the ushering brothers to be exercised when they serve. Because, like the brothers mentioned, the first impression is the lasting impression. And if somebody walks in the door, and the ushering brothers are looking at the ceiling, or talking to one another, and this new one is just standing there, there's a shortage. So we really need to consecrate ourselves to the Lord for this service so that the church can be strengthened. the new ones can be attracted and we can go on in a stronger way.
Amen.
The brothers already mentioned that we need to examine ourselves, but this particular point I think I want to bring, and that is in 1 Corinthians 11:29. In verses 27 and 28, it tells us that if you drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, you will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself in this way, let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if, here's the point, does not discern the body. Please notice, just says the body. Doesn't say the body of Christ. Therefore, we really don't know what this has reference to. Whether it has reference to being a symbol of the physical body of the Lord, or more importantly, whether it has reference to the body of Christ, the church. And because of this, we need to be very careful. You know, among the Spanish-speaking brothers, some really have the burden to contact Christians in denominations. And they do so. And the other day, someone came to me and asked me, well, how about visiting their meeting? I told him, you can visit any meeting, not the Lord's table. We have to discern the body of Christ. If we go to a division and take the Lord's table, that dishonors the Lord. So we need to remember that. But really, if the brothers are exercised, if the brothers are praying and looking to the Lord, and by the way, when the brothers are praying, I told the brothers to use our room. But I don't know, maybe they're humble. So they pray in the middle of all the traffic and all this. Please use our room so you can pray quietly before the Lord. Amen? Then concerning those who serve the Lord's table, but especially concerning those who pray for the Lord's table. If the Lord's table is conducted in a proper way, they should pray at the high point. This is the high point of the Lord's table, and their prayer is to bless the Lord's table, not in the way of transubstantiation, but in the way of thanking the Lord. The Lord invites us, and we have this wonderful possibility of partaking of the Lord's table. But I've noticed sometimes those who actually pray for the Lord's table pray for everything under the sun and not for the Lord's table. So it would be good that the ushering brothers would realize what's being done when they are praying. Of course, like Benjamin mentioned, many times we use the wrong kind of hymns. And, well, what can we do? But, for instance, sometimes it's good when after the brothers bless the bread, to sing hymns in remembrance of the Lord. And of course, at the end, we have the worship to the Father. You might say, well, why do we do that? Because when the Lord Jesus changed the Passover to the Lord's table, at the end, they sang a hymn. Surely that hymn was to the Father. So there's a reason for every aspect of the Lord's table. The question is, how can the ushering brothers be more aware? Well, I'm not one to push literature, but when I came to the church and I knew nothing, this book was a great help to me. At least the ushering brothers should have a copy. I don't want to be tough, but I would say the best is that each one read it. Because it mentions every aspect of the Lord's table. It's amazing how much it covers. So I would recommend that. So having said so much, I feel now you get the point. How important the Lord's table is. It's the most important meeting of the church. And many times, because of different circumstances, saints can't be here for the whole morning. We tell them, at least come for the Lord's table. Don't miss the Lord's table. And one person that really propitiates that, Brother James. He will not miss the Lord's table, no matter how he feels. So may we really appreciate the Lord's table.
Excuse me, I fear there's certain things I did not make it clear concerning Christmas. Don't think Christmas is American culture. Christmas is not American culture. Now, the United States is built by these Puritans. Puritans are those Christians in Europe. They were persecuted by the Catholic Church and also the different countries like Germany and so forth to persecute them. That's why these Puritans, they came. Now, if you go to Boston, south of Boston, there is a place for people to visit. And so that is where this famous ship, Mayflower, landed. And if you go to, now today they build this country for the tourists to go to visit. And I visited there, and there are many actors and actresses play different ones from that Mayflower. So when I with one actor, and he said, "From where did you come?" I said, I come from New York. Then he said, "Oh, New Amsterdam." "Oh, yeah, yes, New Amsterdam." New York used to be called New Amsterdam because it's occupied by Holland, some country, right? But anyway, I asked him, "That do you celebrate Christmas?" They said, "Oh, no, we don't celebrate Christmas." So don't think Christmas is American culture. It's not. Christmas is American businessmen try to make money. Right. So make it very, very hot. And eventually all the money get into all these business people's pocket. Really, it's this. Not only Christmas. And also, when I first came to the United States, especially when I first came to New York, and I saw that I went to a lot of stores. I saw there's so many rabbits. I said, how come that they love rabbit that much? And then they said, do you know that tomorrow is the Lord's Resurrection Day? I said, what does the Lord's Resurrection has anything to do with all these rabbits? So that is another way. What holiday is that?
Easter.
Easter, right. So Easter is another way for the businessman to get money. So you have to realize this. These are not the American culture. It is the businessman want to get money. Okay. Now, why I want to say these things? And my point is that on one hand, don't think because we are Chinese, therefore we don't celebrate Christmas. It's not that way. But now, especially, I want to mention another thing is we know in the book of Revelation, and so the Lord charged John to send the seven letters to seven churches, right? The first is Ephesus, right? The second church is Smyrna. The church was being persecuted by the kingdom of Rome. And then the third church is what? The third church is Pergamos. And in Pergamos, that is the church is already degraded, so terrible. Even the throne of Satan was in that church. This was clearly mentioned in the book of Revelation, right? When I was young, I cannot believe how come a church has a seat of Satan in it. But today, I realize even it is really a prophecy to today's condition. Yes, the December 25th is not the Lord's birthday, but December 25th is the birthday of something. Do you know what? You know, before King Constantine, King Constantine was the king of Roman Empire, and he was fighting a war. Then he had a dream, and the dream was he dreamed a cross. So he asked the people around him, so what is the meaning of this cross? Then he said, this is the symbol of Christianity. Then he said, okay, if tomorrow I can win the battle, I also will become a Christian. And surely enough, he won the battle, so he became a Christian. That's good. So he stopped persecuting the churches. But Satan pushed him to the other extreme. So he made Christianity, this religion, as the religion of Roman Empire. But before that time, the Roman people are all the worshippers of the king of the sun. They worship sun god. And you know what is the birthday of the sun god? December 25th. Because you know, we are this northern hemisphere, you know, in summertime, the days are long. And then, approaching the winter time, the day became shorter and shorter, right? And about December 23, in Chinese, they call it Dongzi, one day, it's the shortest day. And after that, the day started to become longer and longer. So with the sun god, they used December 25th as their, the birthday of their sun god. So I don't think many Christians know this. And so that's why we don't celebrate the Christmas. But then I want to make another thing very clear. But yeah. Oh, they will. I only need one more minute, okay? Now, what is this one more minute? These things are not the major truth. Therefore, if other people want to celebrate Christmas, it's okay. Don't argue with them. Okay. So, because what is the major truth? Major truth is the truth related to our salvation. But whether you celebrate Christmas or you don't celebrate Christmas has nothing to do with your salvation. Therefore, we know what is the truth, but we should not argue with those who celebrate that. So this is what I want to make clear with you. Yeah.
We do want to give you a chance to respond in some way, whether you have any comments, whether you have any questions. We do want to give you this opportunity.
Question.
Yes.
It's regarding the Lord's Day table, Lord's Day table meeting.
Yes.
Is that we are sharing brothers, we know that those who are saved and baptized, they should partake of the bread.
Yes.
Okay, right. But remember that we always have the first day of the month, week of the month, we have the gospel meeting. And those people who attended the gospel meeting, mostly as the Saturday nights, and then when they heard the gospel, and they were touched, and they were by the Lord, and then the brothers were saying, those who want to receive the Lord, okay, and to accept the Lord Jesus as the Savior, those rise up. And some of the saints will rise up, they accept, and the brother will pray with them, and says, I'm a sinner, and all that sort of thing, right? But previously, they will have straight away, there will be a baptism. But now there's a delay in the baptism. What I'm talking about now is that those people who have received the Lord, confess Jesus as their personal Savior, when they come to the Lord's table meeting, can they partake of the bread?
Yes. Yeah. Well, of course, you know, it's in the past, we always encourage them to come to the Lord's Day meeting. And of course, the first meeting is the Lord's Table meeting. And I think the point is that the practice is this is the Lord's table, and it is for all God's people.
Right.
We do not, now please listen to this very carefully, we do not believe in baptismal regeneration.
Right.
Okay, we do not believe in baptismal regeneration. In other words, there are certain groups, not only they practice baptism by immersion, you see, because throughout, there's actually a lot of history about this. The history is that the infant baptism was practiced throughout the church history. If you trace the reason of it, it's because I think those parents, they were worried about their child because infant mortality was high throughout the history. So therefore, there were many infants when they were born, the parents want to assure they would not go to hell, and so therefore they want them to be baptized. So infant baptism was practiced in many places. In the Roman Catholic Church, even after Reformation, after Reformation, this was still practiced. And but the point is that it is to assure that they will not be perish in case they die early. But even that, when they grow up, they will have a kind of a confirmation to reconfirm, to say, now I'm clear, I want to accept the Lord, and so on and so forth. So, okay, so, but because infant baptism is by sprinkling, okay, and the confirmation doesn't mean that they are going to be baptized by immersion again. So, therefore, there are many Christians from these kinds of background. They had an infant baptism, and do they consider they are baptized or not? Okay, and so now, of course, according to the example of the Bible, the baptism was by immersion. Okay, and so in our history, in the past, there were Christians who were baptized by sprinkling. Even they only had infant baptism. And then they came into our midst, and then they come to the Lord's table. Normally, in the early days, the fellowship with them was try to see whether they are really saved. If they are really saved, then they can come to the Lord's table. Because I know, it's in my college roommate. I have a college roommate. And he was a Presbyterian. And he was infant baptized. And then he came to the church meeting and became clear. And so he came to the Lord's table. He was received at the Lord's table. After he was received in the Lord's table, he felt he needed to be baptized again.
Yes.
Okay? Now, I think that is absolutely a wonderful example.
Yeah.
In other words, right. We are not saying we do not believe in baptismal regeneration. Now, you have to be very careful because there are some groups that they practice baptismal regeneration. In fact, they say that you're not saved if you're not baptized in their water. Yeah. Okay, because I know there are some students among us that went to other campuses and was influenced by this group, and this group saw she's a very good one, and they captured her, and they actually made her to be rebaptized by their water again.
Mm-hmm.
Such practice is not scriptural. So, but on the other hand, of course, baptism is very important, and we're going to come into Romans chapter 6. In fact, baptism is very much related to the Lord's table. And we're going to talk about that. Because this actually is really quite wonderful because it has this thing to do with the judicial redemption and the organic salvation. And you'll see that. And it is very much related to our experience, our daily salvation. Okay, so to say that one is baptized and live in the reality of the baptism is that one is open to experience the salvation of the soul every day. Okay, so now what Jeffrey brought up, I think is wonderful. Because yes, it's wonderful every first Saturday of the month we're preaching Chinese gospel, and we hope other languages will also have more, and I think even have it on the first Saturday of the month or every month. I think it'll be wonderful. And if somebody get receiving the Lord, that's wonderful. If can be there's opportunity for them to be baptized, then that's fine. But even if they should not be able to be baptized the first Saturday, we still want to encourage them to come to the first Lord's table meeting the following day.
Yeah,
and we should receive them.
Right.
There's no question about it.
Right.
Okay, I think this point is very, very important because you see, because of the history, because of the church history, people have various. Yes, well, of course. I mean, the saints who are saved, and in the past, actually, baptism wasn't so readily available to people because in the past. There has to be a questioning and fellowship with the elders or some leading ones to make sure they are really saved and so on. They're very careful about baptism. It's because of the history of the infant baptism and so on. Nowadays, if the gospel is preached, believing their heart, open with their mouth, and they're saved. And so, therefore, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That is relating to the daily full salvation. I mean, it's related to the full salvation. And it needs to be. Actually, you will see when we come to, I mean, this is a very good time because we are getting into Romans 6, 7, and 8.
Right.
This is talking about, you see, 6 starting with baptism.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is a good question, and there are some reasons why Saturday was not, those who receive why they are not immediately baptized. There are some reasons behind it, but here we're not going to talk about this because this is among the Chinese. This is some special situations. Okay.
This question is,
when
I ask some new person, I say,
yes.
Say, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yesterday night I had the gospel meeting. I received the Lord.
Yes.
And then they say, I remember last time Brother Benjamin, you said, as long as you receive the Lord, you can partake of the table. One sister will come and say, no, if you're not baptized, you cannot touch the bread.
I know their sisters forbid priests.
Right. Yes.
That's wrong.
Contradiction to that.
Yes.
So I want to make sure.
This is good. This is good. This is good.
Certain churches, they do this. They first said this is for those who have received in the Lord. Uh-huh. Then they said, if you have not received in the Lord, you can receive the Lord now.
Now, yes.
And then, so when they, just at that moment, they opened their heart and so received Christ
That's
into
right.
them to
That's
be
right.
their Savior,
right.
then they can be... They can partake the
Yeah, I think this yeah. is very good for all the ushering brothers to hear this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think, you know, some there are new ones that come in that they receive the Lord right away. I think that would be very good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Others? Yeah, I think that's this is very good to bring up these.
I know some sisters will fear them to do. That's the wrong list.
Because they are at least saying so, like, I just don't want to argue with them.
I'm
sure deep inside my heart, because in Romans it says, if you confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Yes.
So I'm sure when that person will listen to the gospel, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and accept him as his personal Savior, so actually he should partake of that, because the the baptism is only just a ritual. So of course Mark 16:16 says, believe and baptize, you shall be saved. And Brother James says it's for our full salvation.
Those who are not baptized, they will but believe in the Lord, they will receive the eternal salvation. But they will not be saved from this world.
Yes.
Right.
So that's two different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why we are in the Romans 5.
It is possible that some saints have a wrong interpretation of Mark 16:16.
Yes.
Mm-mm. Which says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But the verse doesn't end that.
Yes.
But he who does not believe shall be condemned.
Yeah.
So the issue is believing, not being baptized. But if you emphasize the first part, you're probably going to end up with a wrong understanding.
Yeah, yeah.
And even if we say that salvation has two steps, the real step is believing. And actually, in Revelation, when it talks about unbelievers, yes, they're examined according to their doings, but in the end, they're condemned for not believing. So that is the real issue.
But of course, today we have another problem. That is, people really did not believe, but they want to be baptized and in order to get the visa.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So sometimes a gospel meeting or still the brother still speaking, and then already downstairs already lined up to wait for baptism.
But I believe that he does not believe and he got baptized. It's just an empty ritual. It's nothing that... concerning his salvation, it's nothing. He's just a ritual.
The
Bible first is that you first believe.
So they the key is whether they really open their home, open their heart to receive Christ as their Savior.
Right.
They have to pray out.
During the Lord's Day meeting, if we realize someone calling the wrong hymn, should we stop right away and then correct them or let it go? So, what kind of situation we should, how much we should handle it as the ushering brother?
Yes, I think the ushering brother must be sensitive about the spirit of the meeting.
Yeah.
Don't get hung up on technicalities.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is a very important thing. Of course, you need to know the hymns. I mean, but sometimes try to change a hymn does more harm to the meeting than not. But I want to bring out something which I think the saints must be very sensitive about the meeting, which is depending very strongly on the conscience of the saints. Okay, now, for example, our meeting, of course, the normal thing is if the meeting starts strong, on time, then it's easy. And of course, this has a lot to do with how you greet the people and so on. To encourage them to usher them into their spirit, not just into their seat, but into their spirit, and so on. But the point is that, but in actuality, saints don't come in. We don't have the kind of enthusiasm in the 70s when people couldn't wait to come here, and the front seat are all filled up, and now the ushering brother have to, you know, beg them to come to the front.
Right.
They still don't.
Right.
Okay. So the point is that you also have to watch very carefully, because one day we notice an ushering brother, at 10 or thereabouts, call a number, but that day, even the one, sometimes, well, in the first place, you have to watch whether the one who plays the piano comes in. And we always tell them, you've got to be on time, you've got to be early,
right.
Because if you're not there, you know, you can't start the tune, can't pitch it right, and so on. But now we also have these young ones that come in to type the numbers, so we don't have to write. It used to be writing down those numbers, because the different languages come in, and so we want to be, all the saints can come in and enter in. And that day, this one called to him, the pianist was there, because I was there, but the ones who typed the number wasn't even there. So therefore, you can't even see the number. Well, even though he did call loud enough, but there's another one who calls, usually nobody hears. If you call a number, nobody hears. If the one who plays the piano can't hear it, and that actually is very distracting, because then say, what's the number, what's the number? You know, this sort of thing disturbs the meeting much more. You know, the spirit of the meeting is very sensitive, very delicate. So don't do things to disturb that, okay? So don't say, well, actually, it's a little difficult to tell when is clearly it's a wrong hymn, okay? So therefore, and if you're not sure, don't do it. Don't do it, okay? Even you say, well, this is the worshiping the Father time, and somebody still calls praising the Lord. It's okay. It does less harm than you try to force it, okay? But the point is that I must tell you that we have seen so many years that there are meetings, actually, some hymn was not so proper, but it's okay. Because the spirit is strong enough to carry it over.
Right.
Okay. But, of course, the one who is doing it should be more sensitive, must learn not to do that. But the ushering brother or someone else, actually very often, I have a feeling that this song should not be sung. But for the sake of the spirit, I don't try to correct it.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's very important. But one thing we must all learn, the ushering brothers and all the other saints, we must learn to know the hymns. We must enlarge our repertoire. In other words, there are so many wonderful hymns. And sometimes, yes, the Spirit does move you to call a hymn, but you can't remember the hymn. You can't remember the first line. You cannot remember the music. You know, the Chinese hymn book has the first line music there. But the English, it's more difficult to find, even though there is a way you can find it. But if you don't remember the first line, you can't use the index and so forth. Okay. So the timing is very important. The timing is very important, because sometimes right at the moment, because you can't call it, because you can't remember, because you can't find the hymn, somebody else called a hymn, which is maybe less. The point is that it should cause us to be more exercised and prepare ourselves.
Right.
Okay, I think the ushering brothers has that responsibility. Okay, yeah, I was saying about that brother that came, he called that hymn, so it's a little early, because those who are not early actually was on time, but those young ones did not come. And I hope the ones who are helping these young ones, bringing new ones, also bring them some good work ethics, just like making the bread. And I hope the younger sisters will pick up the good habit, how the sisters serve. Okay, so I think all these things we all need to learn.
And also, in case if a person call a wrong hymn, and don't be upset, right away after we sing the hymn, you can change it by your prayers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Your prayer can lead it back to the flow.
Yeah.
And so another thing I want to say is as Ashwin brothers are passing the cup to the saints at that time, don't ask people to stand up to sing. Very often you might spill the cup, because one hand you have to hold the hymnal, another hand you try to to take the cup, and it's dangerous. So when the Ashwin brothers are passing the cup among the saints, don't ask people to stand up to sing. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Usually, we much safe way is to stand up at the, towards the end of the meeting rather than while you're still Amen. Passing your cup.
Amen.
I have a question that has more to do with the view of the building up of the church universally rather than locally. Uh-huh. And it's a question that when we have visitors from other churches, they ask questions, and especially the new ones, sometimes new ones that are gained in other localities, as by New York or in vacation, or just want to experience the church life in other places, and they come to us and enjoy the Lord with us. But then sometimes after the Lord's table, I'm speaking for those who speak Spanish, they come to us, the brothers who serve, to ask certain questions. And I do not feel qualified to answer those type of questions. So we are lucky to have Brother Ed who speaks Spanish. I always just refer them. That's a good question to ask Brother Ed. And I never ask Brother Ed because I don't have that question, because I am no one to question the way that we have been shepherded. And throughout the years, I have been very much shepherded the arrangements of the church as they are. So I don't have that question. But then I don't know how to help these saints, especially the new ones, because we don't want them to leave New York having that question. And the question is, we have learned that in the Lord's recovery, one of the things that we recover is the functioning of the saints. Mm-hmm. Yet, how come we have an hour of a meeting of one brother speaking? And then, I don't know how to answer. I have asked this new one, those new ones, why don't you ask Brother Ed? I doubt they have the courage to go to you and ask me. But they have asked me and Brother Francisco and other brothers that serve. And we always just, the easy way out is. But considering the situation, as we grow in the Lord, we have to bear the responsibility to give the saints a satisfying question, a satisfying answer to their questions. So, that's my question.
Well, let me tell you something. I believe this is something that we need to learn. When you go to visit other place, you do not question their practice without knowing their history and knowing the situation. Such presumption is a bad thing to do. Okay? This is, such presumption is really a bad thing to do, because if anybody comes here with such a superficial visit without knowing anything about the history here, should not question about our practice. They need to learn something first before ask such question, and I'm going to answer that for you, okay? But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you brother, and there's no sister here, if you go to another place, don't ask such question. Right. Say, we do such and such in New York, why don't you do it here? Mm-hmm. Nobody has a right to ask such question. Mm-hmm. Such presumption only exposes your ignorance and your superficiality. Okay? Now, so far as I think after I shared last Saturday, people should realize that we are not just springing up from yesterday. We have been here for 60 years. And I have mentioned this very clearly And I don't think anybody asks such questions have no idea that our history parallels that of the Lord's recovery. And in fact, I must tell you that the church here, the church here before the Lord's recovery came to North America. And well, I should say, actually, the seed came to New York first. Okay, now, therefore, and also I must tell you that what we have practiced complements, please notice this word, complements what was done in the full-timers training. Somebody asked such a question so presumptuously, had no idea what kind of a example, what kind of a church life we have here, about the living, active, functioning members. They do not realize, actually, I know what the questions are. Other places are practicing prophesying. Why are you not keep prophesying? Let me answer that question. They have no idea what it means, how it to be a prophet, how to be a prophet and a teacher in the local church. They have no idea, okay? And you must see that, I must answer to you this quite strongly. We brothers are not professional preachers. We are not professional preachers. We are the ones that who study the word, realizing the situation here to help how for the saints to go on in the church life, how with the word, by studying the word, in accordance to the vision that we hold on to, and God's purpose that we have learned these years, without following some mere technique. And we realize, because in such a large metropolitan area, and I think it's very important to tell you all, in such a great metropolitan area, and there are many Christians, there are many seeking ones who wanted to come on the Lord's Day, and for them to come to remember the Lord, as we have always the Lord's table meeting first, and also to serve the saints with the ministry of the word, not only to the saints here, but also to all those seeking ones. And we labored so with such a purpose, without taking the easy way out to let everybody speak. You must recognize that. But not only that, every time, actually for somebody making such superficial kind of observation, without realizing, actually after the ministry of the word, there is the different sharings. You know, even in our practice, I mean, I think you brothers should know that. So anyway, some of the presumptuous comments I wouldn't even waste my breath on. But they must realize our burden for the saints, not only to follow the example of getting into the word, how to learn how to speak for God, the real meaning of prophecy, prophesying, and also the opportunity for the saints to respond in the sharing, and because for all different languages, for the saints to have the opportunity to express in their own languages. They have no idea about this. So to ask, why are you not practicing others prophesying every week? Well, they have. let me say this. They don't have any right to question that. Okay? They must learn to see how they have to learn about the situation here a little bit before they even ask such questions. Okay? And I hope our brothers who go to visit other places will not do the same. Okay? Right. This is presumptuousness. This is presumptuousness. Okay? I feel that this how should I say, it forced me to vindicate what we have been practicing, because I think they have no idea, somebody mm-hmm. have no idea about mm-hmm. What the Lord has been doing mm-hmm. here for the past mm-hmm. 60 years. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Actually, it is Brother Watchman Nee said this word. He said, we don't want one man speaking. His burden is that he wants all the saints function. That's his burden. Actually, you know, mm-hmm. he is the one that speaks the most when men speak.
Yes.
Right. And yes. then, not only that, Brother Lee has the same burden. And even Brother Lee put it this way, that is in one of the Matthew life study. And I think it's message number 66. And he said, not everyone can speak. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes certain place, they force people that everyone you have to speak, and then certain ones, they could not take this. There are people that they are afraid to speak in front of other people, and then mm-hmm. Once in Manhattan. We had this special fellowship time. That is, we received a lot of, BFA contacted many people mm-hmm. in New York, and they sent the names to us. And so that meeting, we welcome all those responded to have this fellowship time. And there's one. When sister came in that meeting, then she said to me that she actually was in the church like before, but just because people forced her to speak, so then she left the church, she went other places. But yet, during that period of time, she told me that she brought five friends to the Lord. Mm-hmm. So she had the portion to preach the gospel personally, but she did not have the boldness to speak in the meeting. So that's why I believe that's the reason Brother Lee said in Matthew life study that not everybody can speak. Mm-hmm. And there are people, they're born that way. And then don't force them. Don't chase them away. Still, we need to keep them in the church life. Certain ones, you know, different ones have different functions. And then, so just like this sister, even though she could not speak in front of people, but she could preach gospel person to person, get people saved. So this was Brother Lee's point that we should never chase away anybody. We should always to receive. Any all kind of sense. Now here, we have we follow this burden. We want all the saints to function. Why sometimes you may speak long? For instance, I probably in the near future, in different district, probably I will give you some longer speaking. In order to help you to speak to the other people. For instance, that a week ago, the last 2 weeks ago, I gave a longer message because I want to bring the last message of the winter training, the kingdom of the priesthood. Mm-hmm. And I feel really this, I know that some of you went to the training and some of you had the video training, but I'm mm-hmm. still, I don't have the assurance that you really see what people are those priests. I'm afraid many of you, when you heard these messages, then you think it's simple.
Yeah. Once we believe in the law, we are all God's children, and then we are all God's priests. And then we all serve God. Right? Very simple. No, it's not that simple. I treasure this winter training is to show us what kind of people are these priests. Priests are those who enjoy the Lord, are those who had Christ in him, in them, and that they are one spirit with the Lord. They are saturated, permeated by God the Spirit. This and these ones, because they enjoy Christ himself, then, based on that enjoyment, then they have something to supply the life to other people. But I'm, even this morning, I don't know whether all of you see what kind of people are priests, the priests, and why it is priesthood. I'm glad that we sing that hymn earlier. Mm-hmm. That just show us that in God's heart's desire, that he wants everyone to serve him, but not ordinary work, not just being busy here, busy there, but you have to see that the real priests are those enjoy the Lord and be the one spirit the Lord and the permeated, the saturated by God's Spirit, and that based on that supply, and then you supply the life to other people and to gain people for the Lord. This is the real priest, and that we need to do this together, not in an individualistic way. And so it is the priesthood. It's not just priests. And like this. So sometimes we feel that. That's why I said many times that the thing I am afraid the most is to review the training, or to review any kind of conferences, because every message is very rich. And in order for the saints to really understand, really get into this, especially my burden is to bring people into the reality of these things, to practice these things. And then we have to repeat something more often. Now, we have the language groups here, right? That is our burden. And so we know that sometimes we brothers try to make the things as short as possible. But anyway, we still have to make everything very clear to the saints, so that when they go into different language groups, then all of them should function and should speak. So our burden is, and we believe both Brother Watchman Nee and Brother Lee's burden is, all the saints should function. So this is the thing.
And I hope that you've seen that the example we have set during these years is not an example of shortcuts. Mm. Okay? And that point, I think, is so very important, even with many materials that's available. And the tendency is you don't spend any time to prepare. Mm-hmm. Don't even digest, mm-hmm. and just come to a meeting unprepared, mm-hmm. repeating a few words, mm-hmm. using that kind of thing. I think that is absolutely the way of shortcuts. Mm-hmm. And I believe that what we have demonstrated here all these years is that shortcut is not the way. Mm-hmm. As I've mentioned this, there's no shortcut to any place worth going. Even with all the sharings that we have received, much help that we have received, you still have to spend the time to digest it, not to change it, but to digest it and to serve to the saints according to our present situation and present need. And I think those who are thinking about shortcuts, this is not the place for them. And I believe we have seen many examples that those who choose to do that, they do so to their own peril. Okay. Now, Tom wants to say something. Tom?
Yeah, I just want to echo brother's feeling. You know, I'm I know the Osma, you're not the only one that is question. Many father women are this question. But I can see that, you know, when I was at school here about 20 years ago, I can, because the brother shared on the Lord's Day, I feel very rich. I can see that every Lord's Day is a conference.
Right.
I can see every Lord's Day is a conference. Because Brother Benjamin go here and there for the conference, and we went there, but he shared here, what's the difference? You know what I'm saying? So I feel that every conference is every Lord's Day is a conference. And for the many visiting saints that come here, they only come the Lord's Day. Uh-huh. It's very limited. Uh-huh. I would say the foundation of the church back here, hey, we have the prayer meeting, we have a small group meeting. Friday night, we have a Friday night meeting here. Because at many saints, they link the prophesying is on the Lord's Day. Hey, prophesying meaning not only on Lord's Day. Prophesying can be on the Friday night, can be on the small group meeting, can be on the, I know the Saturday night, we have the Chinese speaking meeting, kind of reviewing the, you know, the conference online. So I will say the prophesying can be in every big meeting, small group meeting. It's not only on Lord's Day. That's what I'm saying. So I echo the brother thing that don't be too much judgmental, come to the conclusion, especially we visit the other churches. Uh-huh. So, you know, many times we want to carry our luggage to see those churches. I don't think that's not appropriate. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
And we, whenever we went to the prison, we tried to brand it in, uh-huh. bring our concept in. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
That's true. Prophesying could be in any meeting.
Amen.
Especially Friday night, I'm praying, I'm pushing the serving ones to bring in the young ones so they can get into the truth and function. Nothing happens. But the point is, well taken, that somebody who comes to visit should not judge. And I had an experience about that more than 35 years ago. I went to my country. I went to a rural place. The meeting hall had dirt on the ground. And I was asked to baptize a 12-year-old sister. And, of course, the baptism was just sprinkling. Immediately I thought, we don't do that in New York. How can they do this here? The Lord said, wait a minute. Do you see the circumstances? You see the place? You see the situation? I was so ashamed, I'll never forget it. Like Brother James says, there is a history. There's a background. There's a basis to what the Lord is doing here. So, the same thing, you go somewhere else, don't judge. Actually, Brother Lee was too strong with that. At one point he says, you go visit a church, don't go look for the garbage can. Really? So, we need to be enlarged. So that we can fit in any situation. And like the language meetings and Friday, there's a possibility of sharing. I hope more people come on Friday.
Another thing I want to say is, whether a Lord's Table meeting is strong or is weak, it's not depend on how many hymns we sing,
right,
and how many prayers we have. Now, the more prayers we have, the stronger that Lord's
right.
Table meeting is. And when a meeting, not only here, sometimes I visit some other places, the whole time it's just one hymn after another. Then they don't, very few people pray. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I almost will speak out, why we don't pray, but I still try to suppress my feeling, uh-huh. and I don't criticize them. Uh-huh. And but then, just here, sometimes I will say something
let us have some more prayers. Mm-hmm. Again, whether a Lord's Table meeting is strong or it's weak, mm-hmm. depends on how many prayers we have. Mm-hmm. Right. We want more people to function mm-hmm. and more people to praise the Lord.
Yeah. You know, actually, the strength of the church mm-hmm. is praise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There may be times when the roof caves in, you feel you can't pray, you feel you can't go on. If you're able to praise the Lord, you can get out of that situation.
Amen.
I'll never forget when King Jehoshaphat had the mob of Moab, a multitude, and the Lord told him, have the Levites sing, have them praise. And the Lord took care of the situation. So we need more praises. The Lord deserves the praise.
Amen.
Many times as I pray before the Lord's table, I pray, Lord, that you would get the praise that you deserve. We really need more praises.
Actually, every hymn should be a hymn help people to pray. And we should learn to, if people call the right hymn, and we then that will help us how to pray, and just use the whatever is in that hymn in our prayers. Maybe we did not, we feel we did not have anything to say, but then a right hymn should be the hymn that help us or help the saints to have more prayers, and then this meeting will be a strong meeting. Excuse me. Therefore, when many saints are praying, praising the Lord, don't call hymns. Don't cut the prayers down.
Right.
Let the saints all pray.
Right.
Don't worry. There will be a point that everybody feels that they have discharged their burden. No one else pray anymore. But then that's the time to call another hymn.
Right.
Don't use the hymn to cut people's prayers.
Amen. Like Brother Benjamin used to say to us, sometimes our prayers may go wrong, but
yeah.
our praising can never go wrong.
Yeah.
Amen. We need to praise
yes.
more.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
You have no time, but just since we talk about prayer, I have a point that the brother who break the bread, right, they have a strong prayer. That would bring the whole meeting to the high point. Then we brother, but we have sometimes the difficulty to find the right person to go up because it's either short that day or some brother don't feel that he should go up to pray to pray. So that we sometimes we make it before the prayer time we have to find out who should go up. So two points I want to brought out to regarding this. One, I know New York City is always use English, because of different language, the English this pray English in fellowship. But sometimes the brother who's not very good in English, but is very strong spirit, they can offer the prayer in a different language. Should we have that brother go up to break the bread with the either Chinese, Spanish, or Korean to give the thanks? Of course, the two brothers, one still always English, the other one, can we use a different language? Right. So that's my first things. I don't know. If it's not appropriate, then can we not limit it to the brother who go up to pray only to usher brother? Can we, like sometimes the brother sitting in the first rows, like can we ask them to go up to help, to really participate in breaking the bread?
I think number-wise that English still, that many Chinese,
but they are bilinguals. They understand English and Chinese. And not many English-speaking saints understand Chinese. But many Chinese, they understand English. That's why I personally feel that for the two brothers go up to pray, probably use English is more people can understand why he's praying.
We understand it's a need, but sometimes we do have difficulty to find two brothers. So next question, can we ask the who are not in the Austin service, those brothers can participate?
I would say no.
Yeah.
Why? Because brother has to be exercised. The fact that he's in the front row doesn't mean he's exercised. And to me, that shows, I'm sorry, I'm very sorry, but to me that shows there's a lack in the ushering service. It's one thing if someone for some particular situation cannot, they feel in their conscience, they're not able. I could see that. But I know a number of times you've asked a Spanish brother who meets in Manhattan because someone was missing. The problem is, why are they missing? One thing if they're sick, but I feel if the ushering brothers realize how crucial, how important is their service, that they will not miss, number one. Number two, they'll come on time. Number three, they will pray together. I really feel this is the issue. In other words, it's not a matter of just like getting somebody off the street. No. It's the ushering brother's responsibility to pray for the table, period. Okay. No one else.
Okay, it's clear.
We have to be very clear.
There are another thing that regarding the greeter. Now, we all know it's so important for us, the ushering brother, to do the greeter, greeting with the spirit, excess spirit, because people contact us could keep them stay here or could turn them away. Like, 1978, when I first came to the meeting, my ushering brother greeted me. Then after the meeting, Brother James greeted me. So that's why I'm still here. However, there's some practical things. When we now, old brothers in the ushering service, sometimes the single female walk in, first timer. We brother, we still greeting her, but it's not appropriate for us to ask more, where you come from, just some kind of, it's easy for us to say that to the male, first comer. So we think there's a need for the sister to be a greeters, stand in the lobby.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Of course, appropriate for
that's
them
good.
To usher saints
right,
go
right,
there.
Right. That's good.
I remember some time ago, Norma, she has a burden. Sometimes she's standing by the lobby, she greets the female or the sister. So I think at that time, we should have involved some sister who had really strong spirit, not a big mouth, but really just an exercise spirit to greet those things to female ones.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so,
Right. Yeah, I think that's very good. I mean, because sometimes your spouses, your wives are with you.
Yeah.
So if they come, I mean, May can greet people. She's very friendly and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And others can be also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think that's very good.
Yeah.
Should
some of the sisters
we invite some saint, some sister, put the name on the list of sisters.
So that we know every week
that someone's there.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Because of the four different meetings, sometimes they're not always here. So, but anyway, those who sign up, I mean, whoever is there, can be greeting. Okay, but I want to come back to your point earlier. Okay, the point is this. The point is that I think what the brother said is clear, that the ushering brothers should be more exercised and so on. And I know that in the past, when Joe was here, and Max sometimes did that too, That is when the ones who went up to break the bread, and they feel the prayers were not strong enough or not short, were too short or something. Joe usually come in and, you know, he's in the back somewhere, and he would pray right after the first two, you know, the two. And even while you're breaking bread, he still prays. And Max did that sometimes. So in other words, I feel that there's no problem with the front, those who sit in the front. The point is that we do so not because it is lacking, but if the meeting is very strong, even after the two pray, and if some brothers feel that we should add more prayers, that would be very good. Okay, so I think we should always approach the situation with a more positive approach, rather than, you know, now we ran out, so let's have a second liner do it. Okay, that's not good. That's not good. Our attitude must be, well, it's wonderful these two brothers can do it, but if you are burdened, like those brothers feel, yeah, I want to add some more, that's okay. Mm-hmm. And if some other brothers in the front or in second row, third row, want to add your prayers, I think that's fine. Actually, sometimes this is being practiced, I believe. Sometimes some brothers did have the burden to do that. So that's okay. So I don't think you have to worry too much. But of course, the brothers should exercise more. And, you know, even those bilingual ones, they should exercise more.
Yeah.
Again, this is not a question about shortcut. I mean, you know, I'm used to, I can only access my spirit in my mother tongue. Also should learn to practice praying because we are here in New York, okay? And so I think all those, particularly if you're greeting, you don't want to just greet those who speak your own language, you want to greet the ones who come in, probably speak English, okay? So I think it's a good exercise. Maybe you can encourage those in the ushering service more on this practicing the language. Even in your fellowship, I think you should encourage them to do so, okay, in prayers and so on.
I think it's good that after we sing a hymn, usually we always sing in English, then the Chinese-speaking saints will sing in Chinese, and the Korean saints will sing in Korean. I feel that's very good. And actually, some of the first-timers were impressed by this, that you have so many different languages here, but you can all praise the Lord together, enjoy the Lord together. So some of the gospel friends would extract that they really appreciate to see that different languages and different races can enjoy the Lord together.
Right.
Yeah.
One comment about the ones who come in first time to the meeting. Our practice in Manhattan, the second floor of the Chinese speaking meeting, normally we introduce, we have a certain few minutes actually just let the new ones, the first time comers to stand up to introduce themselves. Then we know the name and where they live. Then after meeting, the saints nearby him can go to graze him and also invite him, something like this. So it's really helpful. We do find out that there are ones who come into us not introduced by saints, but from the website or from some flyers, and they come in here and not be noticed, then we not be coming next time. And so that's why we have certain just maybe less than 5 minutes to introduce them one by one.
This point actually was brought up, so whether because this was practiced in Manhattan and probably in Brooklyn and also in Flushing, saints raised the question whether we can do it here. Now I tell you, it is more difficult to do it here because the meeting hall is so big, and sometimes people don't speak loud enough, and particularly we have the children's meeting and you know, the young ones go into their meeting after the Lord's table meeting. So during that few minutes, some need to go to the bathroom and so on. So it's not a very easy time. But as a remedy or as a different way of doing it, maybe the different languages should pay attention to the new ones and invite them to the language time. You see, during the language time, it's a much smaller group,
right.
Spanish, Korean, Chinese, and English, of course, is in the hall. But anyway, can introduce them, invite them to go to the language time, and during that time, actually, it's much more intimate and much more easier, much easier to do that. But even with the English ones, I think the saints need to have the eye. I mean, you know what the brothers mentioned, they were both invited to Brother Gruber's home because he always had an eye for the new ones.
Yeah.
Right.
And so therefore, if we all develop the eye for the new ones, not just the Ashram brother, but among all the saints, to pay attention and go out to them, speak to them, sometimes the Ashram brothers can only greet those who arrive early. Those who come in later, they have no opportunity. So it falls on all the other saints, sit next to them or so, invite them to talk to them. So I think that's a good point, Sunquan. And I think we can all practice that. Even here, we can use the language meeting for that purpose.
Yeah, it might be also helpful if just let the first-time comer to stand up and to be not introduced and not speak. Stand up and then sense know who are the first time
coming. Yeah, well then the question is the timing.
Mm-hmm.
If during the speaking, people can, I mean the one the brother who is there, if you do it at the end of the Lord's table meeting, it's because usually, it was mentioned earlier, we usually get up, stand up to sing the last song for the young people to go out to their meetings, and so. The different serving ones, they have to go translation and so on. So during that time, if you introduce them before that, it's kind of interrupts the meeting because we're still worshiping the Father. We usually sing the last song worshiping the Father. So technically speaking, the timing is a little more difficult. In the other meetings, at least in Flushing, they do so at the end, which they don't have a kind of a movement of people, so it's easier to ask them together. So unless the one who speaks at the beginning said, we want to welcome all those who come for the first time, you want to stand up, that sometimes we're going to do it at the first Lord's Day after the gospel meeting. Because if you do that every week, you may not have the first timers then. So I think that we have to see how practically
Amen.
It is easier to do. Others?
Do you have anything to say? Do you have anything to say?
Sam? Are you referring to Sam? Yeah, okay.
I really appreciate when you would have fellowships like this regarding the ushering service in Manhattan, and include all those who are serving on the ushering teams. I appreciate that. It's not so much how to do things, but why we do things in a certain way. And usually we're just inclined to just follow things, and but not knowing why. What typically results is just tradition, ritual, and you just do things mechanically.
Yes.
And that can actually damage the meeting, and it can really damage saints as well.
Yes.
It's even simple things like when we the brothers break the bread, they cover it with the napkin, they cover the cup.
Uh-huh.
And I remember saying to someone that we did that, and they thought that, oh, there's some spiritual significance there, right? Like, but actually we do that just so that when the brothers are praying, they don't get the spit, it won't go on the bread.
Yeah.
But it's really easy. You don't, understand why and spend the time to explain why we do things a certain way, it's very easy to fall, and you know, even to the imagination. So I feel it's very good, even with the other districts, to get together like this, to even to exchange kind of the experiences has been very helpful. That way, actually, you know, thinking how to improve as well, because there's always room for improvement in how we serve.
Amen.
Amen.
Max, you have something to say? You've been serving. You know, I always remember Max's example when the first time when Eunice All's mother came, and she was warned against any other foreigners. And it's not safe in New York. You have to be very careful. And when she came into the meeting hall, the first one greeted her was Max. And that really warmed her heart. And she said all the other people saying about meeting different kinds of people in New York, you have to be very careful. He said, in the church, you are coming home. And that first time greeting to our sister, I think has been a wonderful example of how an ushering brother can make them feel at home.
Amen.
So I think that's very, very, very good. All these years, Max is still serving in the ushering.
Another thing is sometimes in the past, some people from denomination ask me this question. That is in the Bible. It says the Lord's Supper. Then why you don't have the Lord's table meeting in the evening? And the Bible didn't say the Lord's table is the breakfast. But you have to how will you answer? Well, you have to say that this is the spiritual meaning. So when it is not the breakfast or supper, by the literal way, why it says it's supper? That means the Lord has accomplished his work of redemption, and he died and resurrected, and so he has complete his work. So then we remember him, and the reason we have it in the morning, just like Brother James is mentioning earlier, because we can have the most people. Mm-hmm. The important things always we have the most people.
Amen.
And then. Right. Even some other churches, for instance, like Anaheim, they also try have in the evening, then the number dropped, right. Then they quickly come back to in the morning, because the Lord's Day morning, we can have the most people. So just like what we say in the beginning, what we want to gain is gain people. And so then we just try to do everything we can to bring people to the lost recovery.
Amen. One observation that I would like to mention and probably emphasize concerning the service is you spoke about the strength of the meeting, the Lord's table, and my feeling is that as an ushering one, coming to the meeting, coming to the Lord's table meeting early and getting together to pray means to me everything. And an experience has told us that when the ushering brothers come together at least half an hour before and pray, determines how that table meeting is going to be. And over the years, I've seen that, and I realize that. And I always beseech the brothers to try to come at least half an hour. We came an hour before and pray, and that made all the difference in the Lord's table meeting. And that's really the thing that I always realize is important. And let me say this. You know, I've been looking at the speaking concerning the Lord's table meeting. And I remember that when the Lord Jesus wanted to have the Passover, he sent the disciples out to prepare where he would have the table. And to me, that touched me. The Usherim brothers, to me, are the ones who go to prepare for the Lord's table meeting. And that means that the Usherim brothers should pave the way, that table meeting should satisfy the Lord and satisfy all the saints. So to me, coming early and praying together is very important.
Yes.
And then with respect to the new ones, I don't particularly want to ask too many sisters to be around. But what I do and what I think is workable, and I have done this and I do this all the time, is that if there's a new one, especially a female, as soon as possible after the meeting, or of course we would normally go and put her to sit with another sister, but right after the meeting, we can always get a sister to go to meet this new one. And these are practical things that we can do to make sure that the new ones are contacted.
It's very true. First of all, prayer. How can we serve without praying? So if the ushering brothers are really impressed about this, it seems to me it's a very small thing to come half an hour early. No big deal. After all, it's when they're going to serve. So you're right, they need to prepare.
If you cannot prepare at home, and I tell you, it's much quieter, much better environment to be here to pray.
Amen.
Amen. Anything else?
¿Me ayuda, Señor?
Sí.
Amén. Hermanos, a mí me gusta mucho servir.
Dear brothers, I really have a heart to serve.
Y el servicio Dios lo ha puesto en mi corazón.
And I believe the Lord has put this desire in me.
Hace mucho tiempo me invitaron a pasar al frente en la mesa.
Some time ago, they invited me to come to break the bread.
Y le dije al hermano que no podía porque mi inglés no es muy fluido.
But I answered that I shouldn't go because my English is not that good.
Pero dentro de mi corazón yo sí quería estar ahí.
But in my heart I really desired to be there.
Tenía muy ejercitado mi espíritu.
I was exercising my spirit and I desired to partake of it.
Pero debido al idioma no participé.
But because of the language barrier I did not participate.
Y me fui con esa inquietud a mi casa.
And I went home with that.
Y oré al Señor y le decía, ¿por qué razón no participé, Señor, si tú has dado el lenguaje a los otros?
But I pray and I seek the Lord concerning this situation.
Pero eso no me desanimó.
But I did not lose heart.
Continué sirviendo al Señor normalmente.
I continued to serve normally.
Pero el Señor me puso todavía en una situación de buscar cómo disfrutar al Señor en el idioma de inglés.
But the Lord put in my heart that I should find a way to enjoy the Lord and even the utterance in English.
Y aquí es donde empecé a aprender un poco más el idioma.
So I started to learn some English.
Y ustedes han visto que he participado en la mesa.
And you have seen that I have participated now serving.
No he tomado lecciones de inglés ni nada de eso, pero eso me hizo Un tiempo me desanimó, pero después continué adelante.
I was a little discouraged at first, but then I continued.
En Connecticut tuve una experiencia.
In Connecticut, I had an experience.
De participar en la mesa con cuatro hermanos.
That I participated in the breaking of the bread with other two brothers.
Un hermano que hablaba inglés, otro que hablaba chino.
One of the brothers spoke in English, the other one in Chinese.
El otro hermano también hablaba chino, pero y yo español, los
and
cuatro en la mesa. Y en el tiempo de partir el pan,
and during the time of the breaking of the bread,
oramos en cada lenguaje.
We prayed each in our own language.
Y la verdad para mí fue un disfrute.
And that for me was a very good experience. I enjoyed it very much.
Y por lo poco que yo he entendido,
and for the little bit that I have understood,
es bien importante el tiempo de la mesa del Señor.
The Lord's table is a very important time.
Por eso, yo invito a que todos participemos. Mm-hmm. Muchos hermanos de habla coreana quieren participar, pero
su inglés, so we all should participate no matter the language, Korean, Spanish.
No, su inglés no es fluido.
Maybe their English is not fluent, but they can still pray.
Tienen el mismo problema que yo.
They might have the same problem as I have.
Es que, amén.
Amen.
I hope this is an encouragement to all those whose mother tongue is not English, to see our brother's heart, mm-hmm. even though it's difficult for him to pray over mm-hmm. a long 2 minute English or whatever. But actually, I would just say, Sam, I think this kind of brother, let him break the bread, mm-hmm. let him break in Spanish, yeah. and at the end he can praise the Lord a simple. Amen. Few English words. Okay, I think that's fine, as so far as I'm concerned. Okay, but I hope all the younger ones will not use this as an excuse, because he praying his mother tongue, can I also? Those who are much younger and who can learn to must exercise to use English. Okay? Do you follow the point? I think it's very good that Sam brought this up and that this brother gave this testimony.
Yeah.
I say by all means ask him to break the bread and pray in Spanish, but say a few words in English at the end. Okay.
Amen. Maybe we can have a few prayers.
Amen.
Thank you for this time of fellowship.
Amen.
Oh, bless your church.
Amen.
Bless your table.
Amen.
Week by week, Lord.
Amen.
District by district.
Amen. Amen.